Okay, we continue. We finished that last sugya. We're on the next part of the Mishnah. This is not a very difficult Gemara today. We are on Tes Zayin Amud Beis, about 15 lines from the top. The next part of the Mishnah listed a number of activities you do that you can get lashed for. Okay, or 16b, it'll probably be number 2 or something like that. It's by the two dots. V'ha'ochel nevelos utrefos shkotzim uramoshim. The Mishnah told us one who eats nevelos, those are meat of animals that died without a proper shechita. Trefas are the meat of animals that died where was a problem with the, when you slaughtered it properly, but you found there was something wrong with the animal internally, had a certain fatal defect. So that makes it a trefa. And then it says shkotzim uramashim, things that are called abominable things and crawling things. If you eat any of those things, you get lashed.
It's funny how trefa became the generic. Even
yeah, I understand. I understand. Now let's take a look what we have over here. The Torah has many prohibitions against eating insects and other creeping things. I know you would never think of eating an insect, but you have to realize if you buy yourself a head of lettuce that has not been pre-checked, you will be transgressing these averes. Not can, but will. What?
You could check it.
Unless you check it. If you don't check it, I'm saying if you don't check it with a proper light box, and this will spend you lots and lots of time, you will transgress these averos. So if somebody would warn you, don't eat this lettuce, I've already gotten 3 heads from this batch, and they're all full of bugs, that's not even Hasros Sofek, that's Hasros Vadai. So let's go through what the lists are. You'll see how many prohibitions you can transgress. One pasuk says, Al tishaktsu esnafsho sechem b'chol asheres hashoreitz. Do not make yourself abominable by means of any creeping things. So al, when it says al, it's do not, that's the same as lav. So that's a lav. That's one. Also says, v'lo sitamu b'hem. Do not contaminate yourselves through them. So therefore, the Torah gives you two prohibitions. So that's the first two is for creeping things. Okay, anything that creeps, a little ant, something like that. Two lavim for that. Now, there's two prohibitions raised specifically to the water variety of creeping things. V'chol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeses, anything that doesn't have fins and scales, mikol sheretz hamayim, from those that slither through the water, mibsaram lo sochelu, you don't eat from their flesh, as it were. Another one says, v'chol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeses lo sochelu, whatever doesn't have fins and scales, you should not eat. Okay, so gnats, fins and scales is one. And then on top of that, if there's shrutzim, so we're giving you two of those. Why the Torah gives you two, I don't know. But the Torah gives you two separate lavim. And there's also a third prohibition that relates specifically to the land variety. V'chol asheretz asheretz al oris sheketz ulo yochel. Any creeping thing that creeps on the ground is an abomination. You'll not eat it. And okay, there's three for the land. Koholech al gochon, anything that creeps on its belly. I mean, that walks on four, up to those with numerous legs. Among all the creeping things that creep on the ground, you shall not eat them. And finally, shall not contaminate yourselves through eating any of the creeping things that walk on the ground. Okay, so now, another prohibition applies to the creeping things that fly. And all creeping things that fly shall be unclean to you. They shall not be eaten. Okay. That's the list of the 8 different various prohibitions that exist. Again, so we have 2 that are for creeping things. Then that's in general creeping things. Then 2 that are aquatic creeping things. Okay. Then land varieties have 3. All right. So that's a total of 8 different prohibitions. Okay, so now, with that in mind, now we got to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hi, man. The ochel bini sodeve karba. If one eats a cabbage worm, we'll see exactly what that is, what the issue is there. Malkinin lay, you get lashed. Mishum sheretz hasheretz al haretz. You get lashed for the lav of any creeping thing that creeps on the ground. Okay, now, what's the insight over here? That is prohibitions 5 and 6. He's also liable for violating prohibition 7. Rabbi Yehuda means that he's liable for these prohibitions specific to land creepers in addition to the general prohibitions. Remember, 1 and 2 are a general for any of these types of creeping things. Any, no matter where they are. So besides 1 and 2, you get 5 and 6 and also 7. So it ends up you get 5. Get the two general and then specifically what relates to that. So you get for that a cabbage creeper, whatever.
So you flush once for all of them.
No, yeah, five separate. Right. Five separate.
Whoa.
You got to be warned for all five.
Oh.
The guy says you can't do this because of 1, 2, 5, 6, and 7, whatever. He says, he lists them out. It's five separate sets of lashes.
If you see your friend eating that, you're incumbent on telling him that if he's about to, like
if he's going to listen to you. I mean, if you go to a secular Jew, you could, there would never be an end of telling them to stop doing things, but they're not going to listen to you, so better not to say. I'm saying that. That's what we do if a Jew's driving a car on Shabbos.
All right.
Same thing. I'm just saying these are the lavin. The Torah adds them up. There's general ones and then specific ones. Right, there's two general ones that apply for every type of crawl, and then we add on depending if it's aquatic, land, flying, etc., etc., land and flying. Right? Why the Torah gives you so many, I don't know, but that's what the Torah gives you.
So we say we have the love, and then we have to have the warning.
So in other places, there's the warning. Some more is not going to get into that.
Somewhere else, it's
yes. Well, yeah, you don't need it. It's a regular lav.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I thought you meant a regular lav that doesn't have that gives lashes does not need the punishment because already no regular lavs
that's
have the
I mean,
punishment. Fine. So that's you can get. That's why this is one of the worst of errors is bugs. It's worse than treif. Treif is only one lav. Only one lav. A bug is can be five. So it's much worse. People don't think. People tell you, I have a kosher home. I buy kosher meat from Sobeys, but they don't buy lettuce that's checked. And I'm telling you, you got to really check it. It's not just you wash it underwater. You have to have a light box. You have to look at it, and each leaf, you have to painstakingly check it, which would to go through a head of lettuce could take you over an hour. Some people there, and if you want to buy pre-checked, it's only... Not only, but whatever, $6-7. But that's small. It's not equal to a head of lettuce. You have to buy at least two, if not three. But you know, it's your time or your money. All right. So that.
How can they pre-check the lettuce? Because it's already like on different folds.
They wash. They cut them. They wash them five different ways. They do all kinds of things. Yeah, there's no way bugs can survive that.
It's not so much that they're checked, it's that they're washed in such a way it's thorough.
Yeah, it's very thorough, and I'm sure they do some spot checks on top of that. So that's very, very thorough.
What are fruit flies fall under? What category? Because you get these once in a while in the house.
That's a flying thing.
You don't need it. You shoot away.
Well, they go and do bananas and this, you never
so know. You should fly, shoo them away.
Yeah.
If you don't shoo them away and you eat it. Now, if you don't know it's there, that's a show gig. Remember, to get lashed, that's the intentional. Someone's to say, Sammy, there's a fruit fly in that banana, and you're eating that banana with the fruit fly. Don't do that, and then you'll get lashed. But if you just weren't careful and nobody warned you, then you sinned as a chatas. You'd bring a chatas offering for that. Okay, so you got to be careful. Judaism says you got to be careful about every little thing in life. Yeah.
If five different people learn about a different love, we have all five sets.
Even if one person warns you,
but if all five of them warn from a different warning, there's five different. You got five lives.
Doesn't matter if it's one or five people.
Oh, okay.
Why should it make a difference?
You said you have to list off five different reasons, no?
So I'm not sure what you're asking.
Every person warns for a different reason.
So that's the same as one person doing all five, warning you for all five. Sure. Okay. Doesn't matter how many people are warning you. That same thing applies. Okay. So now, where are we today now? Okay. So now, so I did this. Okay. Next point. How who the Ochel Bina say to Bekarba? So there was a certain guy who ate a cabbage worm. Such a story. Vinagde Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda gave him lashes, or he ordered that he should get lashed. Now, what's the point? Why is Gemara picking this cabbage worm? I mean, it should be understood. It's one of the crawling things. What do you have to give an example for? Here's the Chiddush. The whole thrust of the Gemara here suggests that Rabbi Yehuda's ruling in this matter contains an element of novelty, which does not seem to be the case according to Rashi's explanation. That the creatures under discussion here is a cabbage worm. Tosas therefore explained the different creatures meant. According to Rashi, however, the novelty might be as follows. The law is that one is not forbidden from eating worms or insects that have developed in a plant but have not yet emerged from it. Since the creature is not yet in the category of a sheretz, it means that it's crept upon the ground. A sheretz is already creeping on the ground. Okay, so what if it's developing in a plant, but it hasn't gotten out of the plant yet? Right? In Chulin, Shmuel teaches that this leniency applies only to those creatures that developed in detached plants. If you had a cut plant, and in that cut plant, this creeping thing started to grow, then you're not lashed. But insects or worms that develop and crawl in an attached plant, let's say off a tree, are considered to have crept upon the ground even without emerging from the plant, since the attached plant is an extension of the ground. The cabbage worm discussed in Rabbi Yehuda is a worm that develops in the attached cabbage. Since Shmuel's ruling may not be universally accepted, Rabbi Yehuda teaches us that the halacha follows his teacher Shmuel, and furthermore that the stringency is a definite biblical prohibition for which one is liable to malchus. So that's the point, even though it's not crawling on the ground, but it's considered a crawling on the ground.
Like, for example, eggs were laid inside the cabbage, and then they gave birth, whatever. And then those insects never been on the ground.
That's right. But since it grew from a branch, that's essentially growing from the ground. So that gives you that prohibition. Okay. Now some other examples of how many lashes you can get. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Achol potisa. If you eat a potisa, that's a small, non-kosher water creature. Okay. Loika arba, you're going to get four lashes, right? Since he's violated four distinct prohibitions. He's violated the two general prohibitions against eating creeping things. Any creeping thing, no matter what, has the two general ones. And then the additional two prohibitions for the water varieties. That is, he's violated prohibitions 1 and 2, and 3 and 4. Okay, you get four. Okay, nemola, what if you eat an ant? Like a chamesh, he gets five lashes. Mishum sheres hasheres aris. Besides the four that we've already mentioned, he gets the other one for sheres hasheres al haaretz, related specifically to land varieties. Okay, tsira, a hornet. If you want to eat a hornet on Sukkot, it's bugging you, so you just eat it. Don't kill it, just eat it. Right? Like a sheish, you get lash 6 because there's the extra one for the flying creature. Mishum sheretz hof, it's a flying one of that. Okay, so now, that's that issue. So you see, you can get multiple lashes for one activity if you're warned for all of those activities. Now, one of them, it says, you shouldn't do this, you should not abominate yourself. Out. To shaktsu, not to abominate. So the rabbis derive from that as well, although they will not get lashed, but the rabbis derive from that there's other abominable activities that a Jew should not do, that you're prohibited in doing, although you'll see you won't get lashed for it, but it's included in to not abominate yourself. And that's what Rabbi Choy is going to teach us. Amar Rabbi Choy. Rabbi Choy says, Hamasha, very important, Esnikov, if one holds back his bodily functions, Okay, if you have to go to the bathroom. And we're not saying where you don't have an option. Like if you're in a place where you just can't, you can't. But let's say you're in a hockey, you're watching a hockey game on TV and it's overtime and you really have to go. I mean, you have to go. Well, I'll hold it in until the next commercial break because I don't want to be in the bathroom when the winning goal is scored. But you're really, I mean, we're not saying, well, I could go now, but I don't have. You really got to go. You got to go and you're holding it back. Okay, so
either one,
urinate. Either one. Okay, okay. So anyway, over mishum lo tashaktsu, you have transgressed. Do not make yourselves abominable. Okay, so that's it's not a proper thing. Now again, if you can wait a long time, that's not about. You know, sometimes you feel, well, I could go, but I don't have to go. Well, that's not abomination. Right, but if you really got to go, so I mean, you depending on your age, you can hold it back. Sometimes you don't have a choice, but if you really got to go, okay, and you can again, and you can go. That's the important point. Obviously, there's nowhere to go. Hashem can't punish you if nowhere to go. But so most authorities hold the Rabbi Chai does not mean that this practice is biblically proscribed. Rather, it's a rabbinic injunction. The rabbis attached to this as an asmach, that's a reliance. Accordingly, the injunction is lifted when keeping it would cause humiliation. Yeah. If it's rabbinic, so let's say, oh, I gotta go. So in the middle of Bath Street, I'm just gonna unzip my pants and go. No, that would humiliate you. The rabbis do not levy prohibitions in the case it would humiliate you. It's not a biblical source. We already have the biblical list for the insects and things like that. It's a reliance. And obviously, it makes sense. It's not a behavior. And there's other Gemaras. I don't know, you have to speak to doctors who say that it's physically not well. If a person does that on a long-term basis, it could damage something internally if you do it. Another Gemara mentions that. So, but again, in general, when you have that, that's why, for example, you always go to the bathroom before you daven. Especially in the morning, especially. Well, no, you know, you don't go to the bathroom. Let's say you're young, yeah? Remember when you were young? You can go for 12 hours, you know, and not have to go to the bathroom. He says, well, I could go, but I'm not. No, you have to go to the bathroom under normal circumstances because you shouldn't have it in your body when you're talking to God or things like that. So that part of your body that's ready to leave, you shouldn't be keeping it there. So that becomes the rabbinic prohibition.
So is this punishable by lashes?
No, as I said, it's only rabbinic. It's an asmachta. And more than that, to give me another reason why you couldn't lash the person. It's no action. It's no action. There is no action. But it's still rabbinically prohibited. Not really, because the time you didn't do it was the abomination. Let's say you wait an extra 20 minutes, and then you go, you still transgressed rabbinically. Amar Abibi Bar Abaye, Abibi says the name of Abaye, the son of Abaye says, Haiman Deshasi Bekarne De Umna. Person drinks water from a bloodletter's tube. And they have a tube where you bloodlet. Now that's nice, full of leftover blood. Now you pour those cups, you know those cups, right? And now you pour yourself a nice glass of water in the bloodletting tube, right? From that, it should be repulsive things, right? So therefore, ka'avar mishum lo tashaktsu. You've also rabbinically transgressed not doing an abominable thing. In other words, what he means to say is eating or drinking things that are revolting. So it's not just excluded to this one case. Anything that's a disgusting thing to eat, and I'm sure you've come across that in your life. You've seen people do that, especially when they're young. So you don't eat revolting things, even if it's kosher. Even if it's kosher. Even if it's kosher. Snails, yeah, is another problem. It's not kosher. So forget about that. You can get lashed for that. But something that's revolting, whatever, you don't eat it.
What would be a revolting kosher?
What?
Kids do it all the time. They take the syrups and the coke.
No, that's... Okay. Do you want me to be elaborate on this?
Yes.
Remember the kid who would pick his nose and then eat it? Okay. You know, there's always were kids who did that when you were little, right? So that's not revolting, right? Or whatever. Well, I'm not going to elaborate. And, you know, if any of us would see it and go, ugh, that's revolting.
Eat raw meat or something.
No, that's not revolting. That's a way of eating it. But something. Let's say a car ran over a piece of cake, and it's like on the floor with tire juice and a little bit of asphalt in the cake. Yummy! And eats the cake. But that would kind of be revolting, right? I mean, we're in a pretty civilized group over here, so none of us could imagine doing such a thing. But just like you wouldn't drink soda out of a bloodletting cup, okay? Whatever. Somebody used the urine specimen cup, emptied it out, and then you poured a Coke in it. Okay, that would be you want an example, so I'm giving you an example. Okay, Amarava Barhuna. Okay, another example. Now we're getting back to the ants over here. Interesting case. Resek Tishanam. What if you ground up 9 ants? Okay, now, it doesn't have to be 9. They just pick 9, and they combined, but they're not yet the volume of an olive. Oh, I forgot to mention, there's something else. What's the minimum amount to get lashed? We're going to discuss that in a minute. There's going to be two factors. There's going to be two factors. But, you know, you don't even treif. Eat not treif. You get warned not to eat treif. But what if you eat just a speck of treif? You don't get lashed. You have to have a kazayas. You have to have an olive's measure. So about whatever, 3.5 ounces, 4 ounces. So that's a good piece of meat. That's not just a little bit, right? So now you got to think, well, what about these little ants? So we'll see in a minute. So what does the guy do? He takes 9 ants and he grinds them up, yet they're less than the volume of an olive. Okay, 9 is not 9, it could be 15, 18, whatever. You ground up a bunch and you're just under an olive. Okay? Now, the stringently attached, this is the point we're going to get to. Remember, it was mentioned in the Mishnah of Bria. Bria means a whole forbidden creature. Let's say you have to take a whole ant, right, and swallow it. Now, that makes you liable for eating, even if it's less than a kazayas. We already said a whole entity carries its own independent prohibition straight out. But that only applies when the creature remains physically intact. But if it's in mashed or otherwise dismembered, it loses that stringency even if all the parts are eaten at once and reverts to being subject to the normal minimum of a kazayas. That's the point he's making here. So you ground up 9 ants, but then vehevi echad chai, then you get a live one, vehishlum kazayas, and now you bring it together with the 9 crushed ants and the whole ant, now you have an olive. Okay, now the significance of the ant being live will be discussed in a minute. So now how many lashes do you get? Think about it. You have 9 at just under an olive. Now you've taken the whole one together. So it's all one sandwich here. You take together, now you got the living one that now is together with this all in one shot. It doesn't really, it could be within 3 minutes. Okay, and you eat and with the live one together. So now how many punishments you get? Lo kevav. You get 6 lash penalties. Why?
5 for the
lion. Hey, mishum beria. 5 because of eating the entire forbidden creature. Because we already discussed it before. How you could get 5 for that one. That goes straight on its own. With nothing else. That's 5. And now you've begun the beginning of a new shear. Ve'echad mishum ksayas nevela. And now one for an olive's volume of a nevela. Remember, the creature is dead now. So it's a nevela. It doesn't matter if it's a horse or an ant. A horse or a cow or an ant. You know, now you have a size of that. So according to Tosas, the prohibition against eating nevela applies to the carcasses of kosher and non-kosher animals alike. It's a big machlokas over there, it appears. Rashi comments that the live ant died when he swallowed it. Otherwise, the Gemara would not say that he violates the prohibition against nevela. Because it was alive, it wasn't a nevela. Nevela means it's dead. So it has to mean that it died when he swallowed it. It's apparent then that Rashi understood the Gemara term chai, live here, meant to mean literally alive. Now, it's evident from other places that the stringency of bari applies even the creature is dead. So it seems machlokes if it has to be a live ant or a complete ant. Why then would Rava Bar Rav Huna insist that the whole ant be brought alive? Why would his ruling not apply equal if an intact dead ant was brought? So that's the machlokas. Does it have to be alive or dead? Seems to have to be alive. Some commentators suggest that a dead ant disintegrates rapidly to the point that it can no longer be considered a fully intact burial. Therefore, the Gemara chose the example of one who brings a live ant so that it's certainly a fully intact burial when the person swallowed it. Okay, I think that's enough. I don't have to get into more details. But anyway, so you got one. So five for the burial. Now it's a whole different affair of nevela. Any live creature that was not shechted properly, you get for that as well. So now, what?
Even if it was a full kazait of nevela, even the last one was dead, all 10 of them were dead, then it would just be one set of lashes for nevela.
No. Well, but they're creepy crawling things,
so they're
too.
They're all dead.
They're dead and crushed by.
So we didn't have what?
If all of the kazait was dead ants, you would only be have one set of lashes for nevela?
All the except were they crushed? No, the you're still getting the five.
Complete dead ends.
What's the point of adding the live one at the end?
Because the other ones were ground up, right? They weren't all.
One was because nevela is for the ground up ones.
Okay.
For the ground up ones. For the ground up ones. The other ones have to be intact, alive, whatever. Rav Yochanan, afilu shnaivu. You don't need nine and that one, even two and that one. You don't have to have nine. Rav Yosef amar afilu echad vuhu. Even one ground up and one more. So what's the machlokas? Mor says there is no machlokas. Velo pligi, habaravari, habarzuj. One's talking about big ants, one's talking about small ants. You can have one huge ant that you crushed up, and then another live ant, or you could have nine itty bitty ants. So it's not a machlokas. It's just saying if you have any amount of less than a gezeis, and that adds it to the gezeis, you get that. Okay, that ends that sugya. So let's just start into the next one. Just another 2-3 minutes. We're not going to finish the next sugya. Let's just get a running jump into the next part. The Mishnah then says the next issue. What else can you get lashed for? Ochal tevel u'maiser rishon. If one eats tevel or maiser rishon, not in Yerushalayim. Remember, tevel is produce grown in the Eretz Yisrael. We have not separated the various different tithings. All right? Already mentioned. You have first tithe is 2% of the kohen. Then the next is 10% of the levi. Then in other years, some years it's 10% has to be taken to Jerusalem in Jerusalem, and some years 10% has to be given to the poor. Okay? So now, what if you're eating and you didn't tithe them at all? So you're going to get lashed. And remember, the tithing is once it's been winnowed. Then it's you can deal with it. There's no such thing as tithing beforehand. So you had all this winnowed and beyond. It's tevel means it's not fit to be eaten. If you eat tevel, you get lashed. Now the question is, how much of tevel does it? How which level? Okay, you don't separate truma. Let's say you separated nothing. For sure, you're going to get lashed, right? Okay, well, how about I separated truma, but I didn't separate miser? Still going to get lashed. Okay, you separated truma, you separated maaser rishon, but you don't separate maaser oni. Now that's already a little bit different. What do I mean? Truma, that's mamish holy food. That's holy food. If a Yisrael eats whole, even if it's truma, you gechayv misa b'day shemayim if you eat truma. But certainly you haven't given your biblical requirement. You haven't taken off the holy food. For sure it's tevel. The levi stuff has a degree of kedusha. So, you know, but the ani, it's not really, the money you give them isn't really holy. It's not holy money. And frankly, if you separated it and you stole it, remember, separating is enough. You don't have to give it away yet. As long as you say, here, I've separated, it's in the corner here, now everything's okay. And that last 10% that goes to the ani, if I just decide to steal it from him, okay, maybe there's an issue of theft, but the rest of the crop, the rest of the 78% is okay, and I could eat it. So the Mishnah seems to be saying, and Rav's going to amplify this, okay, so how about Amar Rav, Ochal tevel shel maiser ani? The guy eats tevel of Meiser Ani. In other words, you separated Truma, you separated Meiser Rishon, but you didn't separate Meiser Ani, and now you're eating the food after only 12% has been removed, but you didn't separate for the Ani. Is that going to be as severe? To which the Mishnah didn't address that issue. So he's going to say, Loike, he gets lashed, even if you did not give Meiser Ani. So now the Gemara wants to know, who is he holding like? Okay, that's everything that I have mentioned to you over here. I spoke it really all out. Fine. So now the Gemara asks, come on, who is he like? Well, we say, must be Kihai Tana, must be like this Tana, the Tani we learned in our Brisa. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Yochel, I might think, Lo Yehei Chayev Elo Tevel Shlohura Mimenu Kolikar. I would think you're only liable to get lashes for Tevel if you haven't separated anything. I might have thought. But what if Hura Mimenu Truma Gedola? What if you took off the Truma for the Kohen? Flohura Mimenu Maiser, you didn't give Maiser Rishon. Or what if you gave Maiser Rishon as well, but Velo Meiser Ani, not Meiser Ani, Meiser Sheni, which is Yerushalayim to take, Vafilu Meiser Ani, what if I didn't even separate Meiser Ani? How would I know? Minayin, how do I know you get lashed for that? Talmud Lomar, it says, it's going to make a hekish. It's Xavier Shava. Lo Sucha Lecho Bisharecha. It says, you may not eat within your gates the Meiser of your grain, your wine, and your oil. This is referring to outside the walls of Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. All right? That's one pasuk. L'sukha b'sharecha. Then it says, L'halan Amar, later on it says, V'ichlu b'sharecha v'saveu. Once you've separated all of your tithes, that's what the pasuk's referring to, all, including Meiser Sheni, then you may eat the food in your gates. Ah, so now that one for sure is saying once you've separated all your tithes. The first pasuk, I would have thought it only refers to Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim. But no, Ma'alahala Meiser Ani. Just like in the second pasuk, it says you can eat it once you've given Meiser Ani. So when it says you can't eat it, Afkan Meiser Ani. Here in the first case, it's also referring to Meiser Ani. Vamarachmana lo suchal. And the Torah says you cannot eat it. So that fits according to that Tana. Tomorrow we'll see maybe there's a machlokas of Tanoim if you get lashed for eating stuff that Meiser Ani has not been separated. That we'll get to tomorrow.